This is Jean McMillan. This is File 92. I am interviewing Reggie Lamson, a local who has been in the area for a long time. He's going to talk about Salisbury, Salisbury Central, Swassa, and some of his good stories, and anything else that he wants to add. Today's date is April 8th, 2014, and we'll start with the genealogical background. What is your name?
Reginald Lamson, L-A-M-S-O-N.
And what is your birth date?
June 14th, 1950.
And your birthplace?
Sharon, Connecticut.
Sharon Hospital.
Sharon Hospital.
Right. And your parents' names?
My father was Reginald Lamson also, and my mother was Sylvia.
Her maiden name was Nelson?
Nelson.
And your father's nickname was Jim?
Jim, that's correct. Yeah, everyone knew him as Jim.
Did you have siblings?
Yes, I had a brother, Guy, who was killed in an automobile accident.
Ooh. Educational background. Where did you go to school?
Salisbury Central. And went to Oliver Wolcott for high school and went a couple years to Hartford State Tech.
For
electrical engineering.
Electrical engineering. All right. We're going to start with your genealogy, because you've done a lot of genealogy. Can you tell me anything about the first Lamson that you know of, Ebenezer?
Well, actually, that was the title of a book. The first Lamson to come to the country from England, his name was Barnabas.
Mm-hmm.
And that would have been a good name for my kids if I'd have known some of these.
Oh. I don't think he would have liked that one. When they came over from England, did they settle in the northwest corner, or did they...
No, they settled... That was in 1635,
mm-hmm.
I think. So they settled they started in Boston and then moved across the state of Massachusetts, and then in 1800, Isaac Lamson moved to the little town of Mount Washington.
And from Mount Washington, they moved?
They moved all over from there. There was a big family. At one time in the mid-1800s, I was reading, there were something like 35 Lamsons registered to vote in the town of Mount Washington. You know, it was a big family
It was a big community at one time up there.
Yeah, and there was a big Lamson presence there, but by 1900, I think they were all gone. It was from there.
Now, your grandparents owned a farm somewhere.
On
44?
On my grandmother's side, the Sudam side,
mm-hmm.
they had a farm, a little, you know, just a little family type farm, you know, a couple cows and animals, and that was where the Salisbury Nursery is today.
Ah, and that was a Sudam farm on your grandmother's side?
Yes.
Okay, all righty. Now we're going to talk about the village of Salisbury.
Okay.
And we're going to start with Factory Street. What do you remember about Washini Factory Street? What businesses were going?
Well, I don't remember any, except for, you know, Salisbury Artisans. I think all the businesses had pretty much closed.
By that
from
time.
From what I remember, yeah. But I had heard, you know, my father in a younger day had worked at the knife handle factory.
Are the buildings still there for the knife handle factory?
I think part of it became Salisbury Artisans.
Okay.
It was in that same area.
Are those the red buildings, big red buildings on the left?
On the left, yes.
Okay, all righty. Any neighbors that you remember?
Oh, geez, yeah, we had a lot of neighbors. We had the McLeans lived next door.
Would that be Babs McLean?
That would be Babs and her parents
and
siblings. On the other side of us, we had the Marxes, Claude Marx and Rob Marx. My uncle, Harrison, lived up the street.
Okay.
Henshelock.
What was it?
Who? Henshelock. Who I believe would be like Cricket Trotta's uncle, maybe.
Okay.
Do
you know how to spell that?
No.
Okay. That's I like that. All right. Anybody else?
Of course, we had a lot of Brazies.
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. And we had Bontels.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, John Bontel was my best friend when we were growing up.
Good man.
Mm-hmm. And then we always had, I won't say crazy, my father always claimed that there was always a strange lady at one time or another lived on the street. And when I was growing up, it was a lady named Stella Sackett.
I think I've heard that name.
I wouldn't doubt it. She was a character. She, in her time, had chased people with axes, I heard. And
okay.
And such, but
modern day Lizzie Borden.
Probably, you know, just of course she was real old by the time, you know, I ever knew her. But I remember just kind of walking up and down the road and not really talking to anybody. And
a lonely soul. Kind of,
yeah.
Salisbury Artisans, can you tell me anything specific about that? Not really.
Only, I think that was a spinoff.
From the Cutlery family.
From the, yeah, right, when the Warners sold it.
Now, David Bowen is working that now, right?
Yes, and I think he bought it from, I think the people who had Salisbury Artisans after the Knife Handle Factory. I asked my wife because she knew the lady, and I think it was McClure, the name.
I think you're right. Okay. You told me that there were two town dumps at one time.
Well, not at the same time.
No, but...
Yeah, when I was real young, in the early 50s, the town dump was right at the crest of Bunker Hill, where my house is right now.
Yeah, yeah.
And I don't know how many years it was there, but, you know, a few years, and then they moved it up to the farm.
They moved it up to the... Now, that was the Clark farm that was sold to the Erickson's.
Erickson's, yeah.
And one of those men had peacocks, I think.
Yes, I remember peacocks up there when I was young. I think it was Herman.
Okay. Now, your father had a job in town. What was your father's job?
Well, he worked for the road maintenance crew and retired. He was a foreman when he got done.
How long did he work for the town crew?
I think he started in 49 to about 84. I think it was like 35 years or 37 years, something like that.
That's a lot of responsibility.
Yeah, it was. And, you know, they did the job, but they had a lot less equipment than they have nowadays. And
more physical work
than
electrical.
Yeah, right.
Absolutely. And what did you do?
You mean for working?
For working.
Well, when I was 12, I caddied at Hotchkiss School, mm-hmm. along with a bunch of other young guys.
Oh, sure.
We'd walk. They didn't have golf carts then, so...
Uh-huh, you walked.
We'd walk, and we'd walk up to get there also, and sit on the bench. And then when someone needed a caddy...
Not ride a bicycle up?
I didn't ride a bicycle much far. I think we pretty much walked.
Okay. All right.
Then, you know, after that, when I was 13, I mowed lawns. I had a little business with my stepbrother. Let's see. Had a lot of jobs when I was a teenager.
Oh, yeah. We did.
Yeah.
We did.
Worked for George Kiefer a couple of summers, doing shearing Christmas trees and forestry. So, as a matter of fact, I was working for George when I got my driver's license. And the first day I got my driver's license, George asked me to go pick up one of the other fellows down in Lakeville, and I proceeded to get in his old car where the brakes weren't too good, and I backed into his truck and smacked both of them up.
Oh! Good. That must have made your day.
It didn't make his day.
Uh-huh. Oh, goodness.
Let's see. Worked at community service.
Was that when not Mike Tenure owned it?
No, before that. Sid Cole.
Sid Cole.
Yeah.
getting the names right anyway. And then after teenage years,
I worked for the telephone company 25 years.
Lineman?
No, central office technician.
Oh, you were techie. Oh, good. Okay. I'm going to ask you about some places on Main Street in Salisbury, and we're going to start with the pharmacy.
Pharmacy was a great place.
Yes, that's why I started there.
That was our bus stop when we went to Oliver Wolcott. You know, we'd walk down the hill and stand on the steps. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and then when we got off the bus in the afternoon, usually you'd go in there and have a soda or ice cream. And
your favorite was?
And my favorite was Vanilla Coke.
Vanilla Coke.
And I couldn't stay down there very long, hang around, because my mother always said, you're not going to be one of those drugstore cowboys.
Good for your mother. Good for your mother.
Yeah, there were, because there were people who would just hang around.
Oh, yeah.
You
know, and,
wasn't allowed to do that.
That's just as well. Mm-hmm. Who ran the store at that time?
Gee, it was all the Whitbecks, yeah.
Okay.
Anna and Walt, Bam.
Audrey. Was Sam there at times, too?
I think when I was young, yeah.
Okay, all righty. Do you remember George Clark's grocery store, dry goods store?
No, I don't remember it. I know of it because
I've been
collecting a lot of memorabilia, and I have, you know, postcards and such.
Yeah. Congregational Church, who was the minister?
Reverend Stone.
Right. And tell me about Shag Roy's Market. Where was it located?
Shag Roy was located where Peter Beck's is now.
Your mother worked there.
My mother worked there with Grace Stanton and Florence Keeler as cashiers. And, of course, a lot of other people were working.
Oh, yeah.
Different parts of the store.
Who owned it then?
George Ernst owned it when I worked there.
All right. You worked there stocking shelves?
Stocking shelves. Yeah, I was still in high school. So it was get off the bus.
Go to work.
Go to work for a couple hours. And then, you know, Saturday, go to work.
Yeah. All righty. Tell me about Barnett's store at Christmas time.
Barnett's store was great because that was the only time of the season that they opened the second floor where all the toys were, and you went to see Santa Claus.
Yep. So, did you ever go and see Santa Claus?
Yes, I did.
And did he ask you what you wanted, or did you write things in a book, or?
I think, you know, I was real young, but I think he just asked you what you wanted. And I think it may have been, I don't know who Santa Claus was then, but I'm thinking that it might have been Judge Ransford.
It was. Mm-hmm. For years and years, and he loved that.
Yeah.
Where was Barnett's store located?
Just about where Patco is now.
Okay. And how about Bessie's Lunch? Where was that?
Bessie's Lunch was in the alley. Well, it used to be an alley before they tore all the buildings down where Cannon Park is.
Okay.
But it was an alley going down into the ball field, community field, Lakeville. And it was like a little diner type thing, and they had a pinball machine.
Good. Was there anything else in that building, or?
Well, I used to get haircuts there, so Paul Argo's barbershop was upstairs.
Okay.
Other than that, I can't remember. I think the jewelry store was next door, the next building over.
Okay. How about Dufour's Garage?
Dufour's Garage was further up on the corner.
Like on the corner.
Right.
Okay. You said Cannon's Park?
The little park that's there now that's just grass.
Is that by what used to be the fire department?
No. Across the street, right next to Patco. Across the driveway from Patco, there's a little park there with a bench.
Okay.
That was all the buildings that they tore down.
I remember there used to be buildings. How about the Stewart Theater?
The only thing I recollect about the Stewart Theater is that I saw my first movie there.
And it was?
Ben-Hur. And it was someone's birthday party. I think it may have been John Bates or Hoop Belter.
I think you said John Bates when we talked before.
I think, yeah.
The village store.
Yeah, the village store was on the far end of the group of buildings where Peter Beck's is now. In other words, if you're looking at Peter Beck's, it'd be way over to the right.
Okay.
It was...
Going north. Yeah,
correct,
okay.
Going north.
Okay. What was that?
That was... It was just a kind of a general merchandise type store. I don't think he had clothes, but he had some other sporting goods. And I know I used to go in and buy batteries for my transistor radio.
So it was kind of general, a little bit of everything.
Yeah.
Okay. And you mentioned a real estate agent, Gert Durand.
Gert Durand later on had an office in that spot.
Okay. All righty. Now.
And she used, before that, she and her husband ran the milk bar restaurant.
Oh.
Remember that?
Oh, yes. That's where the National Iron Bank is.
Yes.
Okay. Because
before the Thompsons had it.
All right. Durand was before Thompson?
Yes.
The only thing I have about that is Howard Bartram used to make ice cream. But that may be...
Well, before it was a restaurant, I think it was the creamery.
It was a creamery.
I believe so. Not in my time.
Mm. Mm-hmm. Well, that would probably tie in with why it was called a milk bar.
Yeah.
Okay. I learn a lot all the time. Now, you said that you went to Salisbury Central School, and you said that you could remember most of your teachers.
I can remember a few of them.
Okay. Yeah. Who did you have in first grade?
First grade was Mrs. Hammerly.
Second grade?
May have been Mrs. McKee. I can't pinpoint.
Third grade, we were vague on.
Yes.
Fourth grade?
Was Miss Peppy.
Fifth grade?
Mrs. Candy.
Sixth grade, you were down in the lower building.
Yes.
Okay, and who was down there?
I'm not sure who was homeroom, but I think it was Mrs. Smith.
And that would be Mrs. Harold Smith.
I guess it would be, yes.
Yeah.
We weren't...
Yeah, I know, but again, I'm trying to
right.
tie names in.
Sure.
Who else was in...
And then Mrs. Greer was in that area, Mrs. Gondelli, Mrs. Miner... Fred Romeo, I was in his first class that he ever taught.
Oh, really?
First year that he was here.
Okay.
And that's when I was in seventh grade.
Eighth grade?
Eighth grade.
You had said Mrs. Minor and Mrs. Kelly.
Yeah, we have. It was one of those. It was homeroom. That was when they started wandering around to...
Yeah.
Different teachers taught different classes.
Who taught art?
Bob Kosuski.
And do you know who was principal?
Yes, Mrs. Eggleston.
Okay. Did Bob Sullivan come after her?
Yes. Yeah, I think he may have been there even by the time I got out.
Yeah. Oh, you did very well. I'm very impressed.
Yeah, so am I. Haven't thought about those things for a long time.
Then in your leisure time, you said something about a baseball school.
Well, that was when I was real young.
Yeah.
Probably a little league age.
Okay.
The summer program, they had a summer program down at Community Field in Lakeville where they ran baseball school. And they also had other activities that other kids were doing. I forget what they called it, playground or whatever, but the baseball school, Andy Whalen taught.
Okay.
So we would spend the mornings there and then head up to the lake, the Grove, and spend the afternoons there, swimming.
Swimming, and now, did you have swimming lessons there?
They did. I can't remember whether I took them or not.
Okay.
I may have for a short time. I was never on a swim team or anything,
no,
but I probably took swimming lessons. That was very important to my father to learn how to swim.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And then you worked there as a worker.
A worker, yeah.
When was
in
that?
In 68, the summers of 68 and 69.
Okay.
When I was in college, and I was working there during the summer.
who was the manager then?
Frank Markey.
And tell me about Frank Markey and his staff.
Well, it was Frank Markey. Fred Romeo worked summers. Mm-hmm. Worked with Fred a lot. You know, they had, I think, about 3 lifeguards. A couple stand out. Bobby Ulrum was a lifeguard. I think Jack Burkrock, one year, was a lifeguard. Peggy Jenks. And I worked with some other fellows that I can't remember their names.
How many hours a week did you work?
68 hours.
And you had a good story about you were working, clipping around the flagpole.
Yes. Well, Frank was not one to have anyone be idle, no matter what the weather was or if there was any work, real work to do. And so he would send you off to do something. And one day was he sent me off with a pair of clippers before they had weed whackers to trim around the trees and the fireplaces and that. And so you'd be kind of sitting and clipping, and a friend stopped and was visiting with me, and Frank didn't care for that either, you know, visiting with the employees, but instead of coming out and quietly mentioning it to you, he had a bullhorn, and he would yell from the store, you know, "Get away from my worker."
Oh, Lord.
So that would be embarrassing.
I was going to say that was embarrassing to everybody.
Yeah.
You had boats for fishermen.
Yeah, we did. That was actually one of my main things was cleaning the boat. Frank was really picky about when the fishermen came in, you had to sponge down and the whole boat and the inside and make it
clean.
So we did that. We had to pump water out of the boats that were there after if a big thunderstorm or something like that, if they were going to sink.
Yeah. You said something about the oars in the boats were numbered?
Yeah. A set of oars went with a specific boat. And I guess that was just Frank's way of keeping track of.
He sounds like he was really organized.
He was real organized, yeah.
Okay. Did you have like a little snack shop or convenience store at the...
Yeah, it was a snack shop, and they sold, you know, fishing lures and hooks and that, and rented the boats. You know, we'd have to put... And some people would rent them with a motor. We'd put the motors on them. And
you were busy.
Yeah, there wasn't much idle time.
No. Doesn't sound it.
I think the quiet times were either real late at night, because we were there till 9, I think, in the summer. Mm-hmm. And I kind of enjoyed, most people probably wouldn't, but, you know, for the last hour, he'd send me out with a stick with a nail on the end of it and just walk around the park picking up papers. But it was a nice kind of a
quiet.
The lake was, I used to really enjoy it there in the evening.
It was quiet.
Nice quiet place, yeah.
It would be beautiful.
Yeah.
Just beautiful with stars mm-hmm. and the moonlight and mm-hmm. just gorgeous.
And that's when a few people, locals, would come over and visit too, you know.
Yeah. It's a beautiful spot, absolutely gorgeous. Was there a dock and sand at that time?
Oh, yeah. The beach was pretty much where it is now.
All right.
And a swimming dock. The only thing was different, they had a, on the big raft, they had a 12-foot tower you could dive off.
Oh, Lord.
Which was fun, and, you know, I guess for insurance reasons, they got rid of that. And in from that, they had a log that you could roll on. It was.
I heard about the log.
The log.
Yeah. You know,
that was fun.
And that's gone too.
Yeah, I suppose that was dangerous too.
Yeah. Okay. SWASA. When did you get involved with SWASA?
When my kids were little and they started ski jumping with Larry Stone, on the Little Hills.
Okay.
Matt was already a director. Of course, George had been a director for years.
Now, Matt Kiefer.
Matt Kiefer, yes.
Okay.
And, it didn't take long for Matt to
buttonhole you.
Rope me into it.
Yeah, he's good at that, isn't he?
Yes, he is. And kids jumped for 2 or 3 years, and I'm still here.
Yeah, and you're still on the board, aren't you? Mm-hmm. How many directors are there?
20. And you need everyone.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. It's a big job.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of facets to it.
How many hills are there?
We have 3 jumps.
And they're what size?
Small one is like a 10-meter jump. We have a 30-meter hill and a K-64, I think they call it. They now, change the terminology about every few years, so it's kind of hard to keep up with the big hill.
It's like school. They keep changing the terms. Yeah. What do you specifically do?
I'm mainly on the maintenance crew that takes care of the hill. In the winter, make snow and groom snow.
Well, that must be interesting.
It was at first.
Yeah, and you've been doing it now for how many years? Probably 15?
No, probably more like 84 till now, whatever.
Oh, my word.
85, I think.
You've been doing it for a long time.
And it's changed a lot. I mean, it was from going to hauling snow from parking lots with trucks and all that, mm-hmm. to now we have really modern snowmaking equipment, and we improve it all the time. So that part of the job has gotten easier, you know.
Well, that's good.
And we, I mean, it's not likely that we'll ever have to cancel a meet because we don't have snow.
How much snowpack do you have to have on the hills?
Oh, you probably only need to have a foot, you know, but you know, we always make extra.
Sure.
You
know. Sure. And the program when it started was small, and it's gotten bigger and bigger each year, hasn't it? You know, as far as people coming from distances and.
It was an improvement this year, you know, but yeah. I think it goes in cycles, really. You hear about the real old days where they'd get tons of, you know, big crowds and all that. But this past winter was real good.
Good. Mm-hmm. Good. And we had snow.
Yes.
We had a lot of snow. I think somebody said they had so much snow that they had to take some off.
That happens. If we make snow, you know, we have it already, then mm-hmm. it snows. We have to get rid of it. What the natural snow is good for is drawing crowds in to see the jump, because if they look out their window at home and see snow,
yeah,
you know, they want to come. But if there's no snow on the ground, they kind of think, well, how are they going to have a ski jump?
Yeah. When you groom snow, what do you do?
Well, you shovel and rake it, and we have a snow cat.
Okay. Should it
to
be,
do the big work?
If you pack it, then you have to have some fluffy on the top so it doesn't become icy.
No, they ski on it pretty hard nowadays.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. You can tell I know nothing about skiing.
it's a pretty hard surface. Especially with the man-made, it's pretty dense.
And do you have anything to do with the judging or not?
No.
And is it a paid organization or is it all volunteers?
It's all volunteers. You know, unless we contract out some jobs. But as far as the volunteer or the directors and workers, we're...
Everybody's a volunteer.
Yeah.
Now, I know there's different parts, like the publicity would start earlier, but about how many people volunteer? Can you give an idea?
Gee, that's...
I know, that's a tough one.
Yeah, because for different aspects of the job and different years, like we're hoping for a big turnout this coming year because we're going to have the Junior Nationals, and that takes a lot more work. But I would say there's... Probably 50 to 100 if you took. I mean, some people might show up one day, some people might be there all the time.
Because there's different things. There's the food concession, and there's somebody that does marking and judging and distance and all that stuff. What's the Junior National?
That's, US-wide, it's the kids that are picked that year, you know, that are best in their classes, up to like 20 years old. I mean, they're the juniors. And they come and they train and then have meets. They used to call it the Junior Olympics. They don't do that anymore because it's just the U.S. But it's like a 3 or 4 day competition.
Okay, and it starts about Wednesday and it goes.
Yeah, Wednesday through Saturday.
Okay, and you said that there in the United States there's 5 districts.
Yeah, pretty sure it's 5 divisions. It's Eastern, mm-hmm. and there's Central, Rocky Mountain. I think the one in the West is called the Western Division, yeah. and they have an Alaskan Division. I'm not the authority on those
no,
names,
but it gives me an idea.
A general idea, sure.
Okay. You had some kind of interesting stories that you were willing to share, and one of them was a school story about Maud Meyer. Would you retell that one?
Oh, absolutely. I think we were down at the lower building, 6th, 7th grade or something like that. Maybe even 8th. But back then we used to raise a little heck. And one of the things that got to be a trend one year was that we'd all get rubber bands and tie them all together and tie a knot in one end and we'd snap each other with them, you know. And she caught me snapping somebody when we were outside. And so I was going up the steps. She says, "Give me that thing." And she took it, and as I walked away from her, she hauled off and whacked me in the back of the head with it.
Well, it
was different. Yeah, I don't think you'd get away with that nowadays.
Oh, but, no. Oh, no. But it worked at the time.
Yeah, and at the time, I wasn't going to go home and complain to my parents because they would have whacked me again.
Yep. And
but
then,
she got the point across.
Yes, she did. And I don't think you probably did it again.
No, I don't think I did. Not when she was around, anyway.
Well, all right. I'll grant you. I was a school teacher, too. I know. But sometimes it helps as a teacher to know the tricks.
Oh, yeah.
Because then you could sort of suss out what's going on and, mm-hmm. and you know, monitor it.
Yeah, I guess she just wanted to let me know what it felt like.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's true.
On the other end of it.
Yep. When you were working at the Grove, Fred Romeo had a special job.
Yes, and Sunday mornings when we'd go in, it was kind of relaxed. Frank would always go to church, so he'd be gone for a couple hours. And right in front of the store, there was where the flagpole was, there was a big flower bed of petunias, which had to be deadheaded. So usually Fred had to do the deadheading on the petunias while I watched him because I wasn't qualified to deadhead petunias. You know, if I'd been there a couple more years, I think I could have got that job.
You could have worked your way up to it.
Yeah.
Okay. I will have to tease Fred about that one.
Yeah, deadhead the petunias.
Now, Rachel told me about you're making bicycles and coming down Mount Rigat. How did you get a hold of a bicycle? What did you do?
Well, like we talked about, the dump was up the road from our street. So we would go up to the dump and pick around and find wheels and frames and seats and handlebars and build a bike. And that's what we rode around. Sometimes it worked out, sometimes it didn't. There was one day I was riding with my friend John Bontel, Rachel's mm-hmm. brother, mm-hmm. and we were up past the bridge on the mountain road, and I'd lost the chain on my bike, so there was no brakes.
Ooh.
And so I was going to walk it down, but John, he was a better rider than I was, he said, "Well, you take my bike, and I'll ride yours. I'll go down without brakes." So he took off and got going pretty fast and was kind of yelling out. And then I went with his bike, and it didn't turn out too good for me because I hit a bump and the front wheel fell off the bike and my face went into the road. But
ouch. Oh, dear.
But anyway, we survived it.
Yeah.
You know, a trip to the doctor after I washed my face off in the brook. And my mother took me to the doctor, so we got through it.
We were pretty hardy back then, I think.
Yeah, we used to do really crazy things. I guess what you...
Yeah, you wouldn't...
Compared to now, we used to make carts also. Parts off the dump wheels and just take a plank.
Yeah.
No, just a plank with...
With wheels?
With boards and put wheels on it and drive down and go down bunker.
I won't even drive
racing.
That in a car.
Oh, we... Yeah, of course the traffic wasn't
what
it is now.
No, no. Absolutely not. Anything that you'd like to add to this interview? Any stories or reminiscences that you'd like to add? Or are we going to shut it down?
Gee, I think for now we're
going to shut it down.
We're good, yeah.
All right. Thank you so much for your time.
Well, thank you. This is great.